Hello and welcome again to the Price Street Film Club. It's been such a long time that I think we're now living in the future. I think we're almost in Back to the Future 3's future. In fact, I'm going to go check my flying car right now, but just in case you haven't tuned in for the first time, well, then you're tuning in for the first time now. This is Season 3, Episode 1 of the Price Street Film Club. I am Eric Clausen, and joined with me, as always, is my partner in crime, my co-host, Mr. Adam Tucker.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I do not have a flying car, because I am just currently hovering on my own.
Well, there you go.
Future.
Do you have your hoverboard?
Sadly, I actually do have a hoverboard, but that's a whole story for a different day. So,
Well, just don't be a bojo. You know those things don't work over water. You got power.
Man, you took it right out of my. I was going to say the power line, but whatever.
It's, cool. It's been quite a bit, but just to kind of give you a rough rundown of what we do on our show, we like to do a thing we call 10 movies in 5 minutes as our first feature, where Mr. Tucker and I will go down 5 movies apiece that are interesting, give a quick recap in 30 seconds, so in 5 minutes you will have such knowledge of these 10 movies. Then we'll have a new feature called Adam and Eric Saw a Movie in the Movie Theater, where we'll be talking about Mad Max Fury Road. And since we are moving into this summer season of movies, we'll be talking about our top 5 anticipated movies coming out this warm summer season, followed by our assignment America, wrapping it up and leaving it all to you. So, without further ado,
we're also going to do the trailer park, but
Yes, you're right. We also do the trailer park, where we talk about movies that we haven't seen yet, judge a book totally by its trailer.
There we go.
So, without further ado, I think I have it all now. We'll move on to 10 movies in 5 minutes. So, would you like to go first? It has been a while, so would you like to go first, or would you like me to top this one off?
I'll go first. I have no problem going first. So this is going to be kind of like a recap of almost like the last year of our 10 movies in 5 minutes. So I'm going to start with one of the best movies I've seen in the past year, and it is entitled Whiplash.
All right, and go.
If you've been living in a cave, you don't know what Whiplash is. Whiplash is a fantastic music-based movie. Follows a kid in a music school, jazz drummer, that has like the absolute like most nightmare college professor. The movie is brilliant. It's like a tension. It's almost like a thriller. It's like a psychological thriller more than like a music movie. Everything about it is awesome. The acting, the story is so compelling and so good.
Stop. Now, were you fast or were you slow?
Were you rushing or were you dragging? If I could slap you, I would. I'm sorry. Anyway. I'm sorry. All right, Mr. Clausen.
All right.
What is your first movie?
The movie that I'll be doing is the little-known art film called Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Oh, cool. I think I've heard of this. All right. And go.
All right. So the Avengers movies are building up to a fantastic movie with the Infinity Gauntlet and the Infinity War. They're slowly moving to it. And you would think that this movie would feel more like a stopgap in between, because in the long run, you know, nothing that's going to happen really changes like the Captain America Winter Soldier movie. However, this movie was thoroughly enjoyable. It added Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. The action was right on key, and the characters, they actually did develop.
Stop.
A little. Okay.
Nope.
All right, so what is your number two?
All right, my number two, I'll go a little bit more recent, and I will talk about the Disney release, Tomorrowland.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
And go.
Okay, so Tomorrowland, I didn't know much going into it, because the marketing, I think they did that on purpose. Really imaginative, whimsical, and a very, very intriguing first three quarters of the film. Once we get to the last quarter of the film, where, spoiler alert, they go to Tomorrowland, it turns into a muddled, confused mess, where the writers and directors seem to have no idea what they wanted to do. An unclear villain and unclear motives, Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so you're number two.
My number two is a movie that I hadn't heard of until my wife brought it home from the Red Box, called The Voices.
I still haven't heard of it. I'm anxious here. All right, and go.
All right. This movie, I had low expectations going into it. Honestly, I'd never heard of it, never been marketed. It's a movie starring Ryan Reynolds as a paranoid schizophrenic who is working at a bathtub factory. He is essentially choosing not to take his medication because it makes him all fuzzy and starts to have reality break in. So he's taking instructions from his psychopathic cat and his dog, who's just trying to be his best friend. It goes really murdery and crazy. And
stop.
what is your number three?
My number three, once again, I'll keep it a little bit more recent now. We'll go with the cyber horror film called Unfriended.
All right. And go.
I know you're laughing, but in all seriousness, it's a really cool concept for a horror movie. The entire thing takes place actually over Skype, through text messages, through YouTube videos, and the whole thing is on a computer screen. A really cool concept, and directed and executed really well. Unfortunately, it had a really stupid ghost story / horror story under it that didn't really support the cool concept. But I can see more movies going down this road and moving in this direction, which I'm okay with. Number three for you, sir.
Number three for me is a movie called John Wick.
John Wick. All right. And go.
You would think a movie starring Keanu Reeves about him seeking revenge after hitmen kill his dog and steal his car would be terrible. You would be wrong. The movie was surprisingly fantastic. It was empty, a lot of violent fun, and just over-the-top mess. Like, you would not expect it to be good, but it is so awesome. I cannot stop recommending John Wick. It just has the right kind of fromage.
Stop.
What is your number four?
Number four, I saw this in the theater and just recently rewatched it. Kingsman: The Secret Service.
All right. And go.
All right. Imagine equal parts Quentin Tarantino, spy movie, and ultra-violence, and you have Kingsman: The Secret Service. You'd never expect Colin Firth to be like an action hero, but I will tell you right now, man, this is such a fun movie. It's a send-up of the spy genre, and includes probably one of the greatest action sequences in the past 10 years. You watch the movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You got Samuel L. Jackson hamming it up as the villain.
Stop.
All right, you're number four.
All right, my number four, this one's for the kiddies. Okay. This one's called SpongeBob, Sponge Out of Water.
Ah, all right, and go.
What a piece of dreck. All right, I know I'm probably... I feel like I'm the only one who didn't take the crazy pills and loved this movie. I thought it was terrible. And for about what feels like 3 hours, they spend on a plot that involves SpongeBob and one of the most mind-numbingly dull characters of the show, Plankton, taking a time machine and just doing nonsensical stuff. The trailers lead you to believe that there's a whole 3D action animated sequence. Believe me, if you spent money on the 3D glasses, you got ripped off! All right, what is your, are we still doing the Netflix streaming pile?
Well, instead of going Netflix, I don't want to discriminate against anything else, so I'm just calling it now the streaming pile.
Okay, what is your streaming pile?
My streaming pile is The Wedding Ringer.
All right, and go.
Listen, I like Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart is funny. He has funny stand-up. He seems like a genuinely funny guy. I like Josh Gad. He's also a genuinely funny guy. Why is this movie not freaking funny? How come Kevin Hart can't be in a funny movie? This movie is, once again, it's cliche, typical, stupid garbage with, you know, maybe I laughed twice. I kind of slept through most of it, so I don't know if I can count watching it, but come on, Kevin Hart. Get on the ball. So are you still in the Red Box pick of the week?
Oh, this is definitely a Red Box pick of the week.
All right, the Red Box pick So your number five, your red box pick is...
Ouija.
Oh, God. Okay. And go.
You know, a PG-13 horror movie about a really sad attempt at a scary board game from Milton Bradley, you might think it wouldn't be scary. You'd be correct. This movie is so bad in so many ways. Like, I know you're supposed to be scared that the ghosts are really talking to us through the Ouija board. Oh, God, it is so horrible. The plot is ponderous. The acting is softcore porn level at best.
Stop! I'm holding my breath over here because I don't want to interrupt you. Oh, my God.
Ugh.
Well, good to know there's still bad movies out there for us to watch. Oh, goodness.
Look, if we don't watch them, who will?
Oh, seriously.
Yeah. All right.
Our recap. So my number one was Whiplash, and I know you've seen Whiplash.
Yes, I think after I saw Whiplash, I texted you and essentially said, this is a fantastic movie. If anybody ever tells you otherwise, you should punch them in the face.
I think that was exactly your text, and I love it. Because, I mean, I've heard so many great things after people have watched this. Because I have told everybody I know to watch this movie. All right? And, you know, for the listening audience out there that doesn't know this, like, I am a jazz director player by trade. That's how I actually make money, because we sure make money off of this. Anyway, you know, it's just awesome to see jazz be put in this, like, I don't want to say legitimized, but like put in the public eye. And everybody, this movie is just fantastic. And like you said, if anybody doesn't like this movie, they should be punched. Another one of my friends just watched it, and he actually apologized to me because it took him so long to watch it.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's like, I'm sorry it took so long because it's so good.
It took me a while to get over it, too, because the first time he said, oh, it's about a jazz drummer, I'm like, oh, okay. And ultimately, I'm thinking, like, oh, is it like another movie like Backbeat or something like that? And I'm just like, I don't care. But then, like, I'm like, all right, I'll get it. I watched it, and I was just like, I'm an idiot for not watching this sooner. This was amazing. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's that good.
Yeah.
You know, and it didn't win Best Picture, but I truly think it was probably the Best Picture of 2014.
Yes, yeah, it really was. So, it was yeah. Probably my favorite thing I've seen out of the Best Picture list.
Ugh, awesome. So, all right, what was your first movie?
The Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Oh yeah, yeah. As of this recording, I have seen The Avengers: Age of Ultron three times.
Three times.
Yes, three times. So I think you can probably, you know, deduce from that I enjoy it as well.
Yeah, it was, like I said, I mean, for the fact that it is, in fact, just a stopgap Avengers film moving into Infinity War Parts 1 and 2, which are obviously going to be set up over the next couple years, like I said, it was surprisingly decent. I always loved James Spader. Like, especially, I don't know if you watch The Blacklist on NBC, but I do love me some James Spader, who did an excellent job as the voice of Ultron.
Let me hit up my issues with it, because I know people are just gushing over it, but I do have... Well, one of my major issues was the fact that, like, you know, as cool as Ultron was, and as great as Spader's voice work was, he just did not, at times, seem like a legitimate threat to me.
No, and I can totally understand that. Like, all right, I mean, this movie's still in the theaters. I don't want to go spoiler heavy on it, but his main plan, you're right, it was not earth-shattering. And sometimes you don't need, you know, a truly global threat, but in the end, yeah, I mean, it was just sort of like, okay, I mean, a lot of his bodies blew up pretty quickly.
Listen, it doesn't take away from the fact that the movie was enjoyable, okay, but like... I don't know. Ultron did not seem like a huge threat to me. But don't get me wrong, man. Some of those action beats were fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you took the plunge and saw it in 3D or not. It honestly, it's one of those movies where it didn't add, in my opinion, the 3D didn't add a whole lot to it.
Yes, I did see it in 3D. And I agree with you there. The movie stands well on its own without 3D.
Yeah. But if you haven't seen it, which, if you've watched any of the other MCU movies or are a fan of superheroes and you haven't seen it yet, make the time.
Did you get to see Tomorrowland yet?
No, actually not.
Okay, it's pretty good. I don't regret seeing it, but like I said, I mean, they really just ran out of ideas in that last quarter, you know. Like, it really is, like, the whole thing is very original, and the beginning of it really feels like an old school, like, Spielberg movie, you know. It's got, like, some legit threats, some legit violence.
From what I could kind of gather from the trailer, it looks like Tomorrowland is sort of, I'm not sure if you are familiar with the show Eureka.
No, I'm not.
It's an older show that used to be on Sci-Fi, where essentially it's a town where they harbor all the, like, the super geniuses, and they allow them to develop their ideas and such like that. So that's kind of what Tomorrowland seemed like.
It's a similar concept, yeah. I mean, like, they pluck the smartest people from the world to actually go and build Tomorrowland, essentially. And it's pretty neat. For most of its running time, you are intrigued. And, you know, you're trying to put all the puzzle pieces together, but unfortunately, the puzzle ends up being a pile of crap. And, you know, it's a shame because you have fun building the pile of crap puzzle, but it's still a pile of crap. I give a marginal recommendation, you know, at your own risk. It's, you know, if you've already seen Age of Ultron three times, it's worth your, you know, worth a watch. So.
All right. So let's see. Have you seen the next one? Was The Voices. Now, I know you haven't seen it, but.
I have not. So, I mean, what'd you think of it? You explained it. What'd you think of it?
I actually really kind of enjoyed it. It was surprising because it's sort of, I would put it on as a very kind of dark comedy in a lot of ways. Just because, I mean, you can see he's, like, he's living in kind of, like, the way it's shot, like, it's very bright, it's colorful, like, his life seems very happy, and at one point, like, he actually takes the meds he's supposed to, and you actually see reality around him, and it's just, like, oh, begrudging. But, I mean, like, it's brutally violent, like, his dog, his cat talking to each other, and, like, he ends up decapitating women and puts their heads in the fridge, and they start talking to him as well. And it's, like, it's strange, but oddly really enjoyable, and I enjoyed Ryan Reynolds in it. It's a very little-known film, but if you do see it, it's worth a watch.
Yeah, that's kind of a genre that's a real hard sell, but I like that kind of dark comedy horror kind of thing, so I might have to check that out. So I'm assuming, judging by your reaction, you did not see Unfriended.
No, I honestly, with a title like that, I probably would have said yeah, no.
Well, you know, I had the opportunity to see it, so I took it, and like I said, man, conceptually, it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
If it had a better story under it, it would have been a whole heck of a lot better.
Okay.
But I mean, It's I really think it's worth a watch because I think it's going to spawn a lot of imitators.
Okay.
You know, and it can, because imitators can come along with a better story. But the whole concept of doing the whole thing on the computer and making it work for an hour and a half was impressive to me.
Yeah, because I've seen the general gist of using the computers itself. So I'm not sure if you watch the show Modern Family at all. They did a half hour episode where they were where it was all done on, like, different types of chats, IM windows and such. Like,
okay.
And it was really well put together. And you're right. If you do have a decent story, that's an interesting way to tell it.
Yeah. And, I mean, I liked it because, like, the way they use things, and then, like, there were, like, these shocking moments of violence every once in a while. And that was cool. And it is worth it.
Okay.
You know, check it out, you know, when it comes to Redbox, obviously. I think it's out of the theater already, but.
Yeah,
it's worth a watch.
I don't even remember being in the theater, so you're definitely probably right. It's probably right.
Well, there you go.
All right, let's see. My number three was John Wick. Have you seen John Wick?
I have not seen John Wick.
You need to see John Wick.
I know so many people are telling me I need to see John Wick, and I'll go see John.
I know you don't like Keanu Reeves.
If anybody actually says, oh man, I really like Keanu Reeves, you're an idiot.
It's so hard to describe why you will like this movie. All right, because the plot, like I said, is generally looks like somebody wrote it in crayon. Like, it was just like, yeah, let's have this hitman, these people, like, kill his dog and steal his car. And then the rest of his movie is just him going around killing everybody else. And it's like I said, the plot is dumb. Keanu Reeves gives his usual marginal to subpar performance. The rest of the acting is not great, but the it really gels. It's a fun movie to watch. Like it strikes the right chord in your brain, shuts it off, and you're like, dude, this movie's actually good.
did you go, whoa?
I might have at some point.
I will see it. Okay, I'll just tell you. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah, like I said, so. You won't know why you like it, but when you get over when you're done, you'll be like, that was enjoyable. I don't know why, but it was really good.
All right, so speaking of that, did you see Kingsman?
I did not. I wanted to. Now, I've seen the British spy genre done before. Now, can you compare, I'm going to say it's not the Marvel one, but how is it compared to the Avengers with Ralph Fiennes and Sean Connery?
I don't know, man. The Avengers, that was such a good movie. And so intriguing. I'm throwing up in my mouth as we speak.
I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, you want to go do a real horrible experiment? Go rent The Avengers with Ralph Fiennes, Uma Thurman, and Sean Connery.
Yes. Don't get us wrong. We're not talking about The Avengers with Iron Man and Hulk and Thor, the good one. Like, this is... Oh, God.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, like, you know, the director of this, Matthew Vaughn, he did X-Men First Class, Kick-Ass. He loves the ultraviolence, and it's here in spades. Colin Firth, man, is so good in this. And all the British guys, you got Colin Firth, you got Mark Strong, Michael Caine. There's this new kid you've never heard of before. Taron Egerton is his name. Does a great job. Actually carries a lot of the movie himself. It is a blast. And Samuel L. Jackson is just chewing up the scenery with the most ridiculous lisp you've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot recommend this enough. Like I said, I watched it a second time. It hasn't lost anything.
It's not for want of not wanting to see it. I just hadn't right. chance yet, so I will definitely check it out when it becomes available to me in a format that I can digest it in.
it's totally worth it.
All right, so. Cool. Now, have you seen SpongeBob Sponge Out of Water?
Yeah. What is your problem? What is your deal, pal?
Okay, I like SpongeBob. The first SpongeBob movie, I enjoyed. Okay, I enjoy.
Okay.
Now that we're men, you know, yeah. The, you know.
Yes, I'm intimately familiar with it.
Yes. Like I said, enjoyed that movie quite a bit. So the new SpongeBob movie comes out, and I saw the trailers, and I'm like, oh, okay, so it's going to be like a little bit of cartoon and then like a 3D animated movie towards the end with them being superheroes, which should be fun, I guess. And
yeah.
So there I am. I'm sitting in the theater. I'm watching Antonio Banderas go through the motions. He pushes the button that says auto pirate. I laughed. you know.
Okay. Yeah.
And the animated parts, like the 2D animated parts, like it just fell so flat for me. Like I'm not judging it on dimension, but like the humor didn't seem to strike as well. Like, you know, I did enjoy. I enjoyed the song that came on when they did the time traveling. I thought like the majority of the movie is SpongeBob and Plankton and. Plankton works in small doses on the show.
See, I disagree. We're about to argue about the merits of SpongeBob here, by the way. I think Plankton's actually one of the best characters on the show. The guy that does his voice is actually, I think he's credited as Mr. Lawrence. He steals it every single time. I love Plankton. I thought this movie was... I can't get enough of SpongeBob. I'm sorry. I love everything about SpongeBob, and this movie was so freaking off the rails, like bat crazy off the rails. Like those time travel sequences and the end sequence when they were, you know, in the real world. I thought it was great. I enjoyed every single minute of it. More importantly, my 8-year-old son has seen it twice and just loves it.
I was there. I took my kids. My kids were just kind of like bleh towards the whole thing after the end of it too. Like I said, I don't know. Maybe it was just the night we saw it on or what, but whatever it was, it felt incredibly flat to me. And yeah, like I said, so we'll agree to disagree on the merits of SpongeBob, but for me, it didn't work.
Yeah, man, if this was like a TV podcast, we'd just do a whole episode on, you know, like SpongeBob and social commentary about, you know, the certain episode. Yeah, anyway, I love SpongeBob.
Yeah, I enjoy myself some SpongeBob too, but let's never ever get into that merit discussion again.
Okay, all right, that's cool. All right, so have you seen The Wedding Ringer.
No. My wife had rented it. It's sat on our table for about a week. We haven't watched it yet, so.
I think Kevin Hart's funny. I love his stand-up.
Yeah, I find him to be funny. Like, I've seen him on, like, you know, I think Tonight Show or, mm-hmm. you know, one of the other late night shows. He is a genuinely funny guy.
I think. And he did a guest spot on Modern Family.
Mm-hmm.
Like he did a funny guest up there. He hosted SNL and he was great there. Why does he insist on making crappy movies? Like Ride Along was a crappy movie.
It was, yeah.
The Wedding Ringer, this is a crappy movie. I think one of his next movies, like I heard, what was that movie he was in with Will Ferrell? I heard that wasn't very good.
Get Hard.
Right. And then there was that Grudge Match that I heard wasn't very good. And now he's going to make Ride Along 2. There's no way that's going to be good. I'm just setting that down right now.
Well, Ride Along 1 wasn't good, so why would...
You can't... Right, exactly. It's not going to be, wow, the sequel. Man, they really knew what they were doing. No, they don't. It's not going to happen. It's going to be junk. Because yeah. Kevin Hart makes junky movies, and he needs to figure out how to channel his really funny stuff and put it into a movie that doesn't suck.
He can be real funny.
Yeah.
But you're right. He needs to either A, start reading the scripts, or B, find a talented team of writers that can actually feature him correctly. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a movie coming out and, you know, with Amy Schumer, which actually seems to feature her correctly, at least in the character she portrays on TV.
Oh, you're talking about Trainwreck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that looks really good. Once again, I think Amy Schumer is hilarious.
Correct. You know? And you know, that's the correct kind of vehicle. Like he's putting himself in like just
anything.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah.
Like, yeah. So, well, that's a shame.
Yeah. But... Don't waste your time.
All right. Now, have you seen Ouija?
Are you kidding? No, I have not.
First in line right there to get a ticket. I know.
No.
Oh, no. Dude. I you know.
I think your reaction said it all, pal.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even begin. Like, there was a while ago, there was like rumors that they were making all these movies based on board games. Now, they had Battleship that had come out, which was abysmally bad.
Oh, it was awful.
You don't expect a movie based off a really crappy board game to ever actually spawn anything worthwhile, and it doesn't here. It is, like, the scares are terrible. Like, there are certain ways you can judge a horror movie, and, you know, I've never found a PG-13 horror movie that has been decent.
It's not a masterpiece, but I thought The Ring did it pretty well.
The Ring was not R?
No, The Ring was PG-13.
Okay, all right. I did enjoy the first Ring. You're right.
Okay, all right. That's one.
Yeah. any of the other ones? Nope.
I got nothing.
Usually, I think to be truly effectively scary, a horror movie has to be R, because it has to be able to take you to the place and show you the things that you're scared of.
Right, and it doesn't necessarily have to be like a gory R. It's just got to, you know, sometimes you get that psychological R.
Yeah.
You know, like, gory R is Saw, and I think Saw, the entire franchise, is a waste of time.
Yeah, there's very few movies in the Saw franchise that are worthwhile. I mean, the first one kind of was interesting in ways. Yeah, I know.
So, in conclusion, don't watch Ouija.
No, do not watch Ouija. Do not think that it is anything better than it should be, because it's not. It's terrible. Like, it is pure dreck.
All right. Awesome. Pure dreck. All right. Well, how about we float out of our 10 movies in 5 minutes and go on to the next new feature, which is called, take it,
Adam and Eric saw a movie in the movie theater.
So it was kind of on a whim, and we jetted out to our local movie tavern, which if you don't have a local movie tavern, sorry, because it's awesome. We jetted out to our local movie tavern, and we got to see the current talk of the town, the critical darling, the, you know, everybody's giving it raves. We saw Mad Max Fury Road.
I believe you pronounced it wrong. It's Mad Max Fury Road!
I'm sorry. Sorry, I apologize. I think we both agree that it has enough to merit a pretty good discussion.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. The biggest complaint that I had is, first off, that when you go to see this movie, you'll be paying for the whole ticket, but you know, which will buy you the seat, but you'll only need the edge.
God. We're not going to do this the whole time, are we? Because I gotta go.
No. All right. No more extreme jokes. We'll actually have a serious discussion about this movie, which was, like I said, I mean, first off, general impressions. Like it started off bizarrely. I will definitely say that. The beginning of it does not translate into what you will be riding for the rest of the movie.
I can agree with that.
If you haven't seen this movie, we are going to do a deep discussion of it, so spoilers ahead.
We won't be ruining too much, because, but just beware.
If you want to go in fresh, we will be talking about it frankly, so spoilers ahead, possibly, so, you know, be warned. Anyway, so, like I said, it starts off with him being abducted by, does the gang actually have a name?
I don't remember what it was. We're just going to let this flow naturally. That's one of the biggest issues I had with the movie. I don't know what the gang was called. I still am not really sure who the bad guy's name was. I think it was just Joe. The reason it starts off so oddly is because the director decided to just take everything and put it all in, like, super fast motion.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I don't, why the hell is he doing this? This is not adding to anything.
The main takeaway from this is, and just as Adam was speaking to, you won't be able to pull much away from this because he does not take the time to explain really
anything.
Like, all right, you know you're in a post-apocalyptic world just because of the way everything looks, all right? You're in a future sometime after some sort of cataclysmic event happened, okay? You don't know, like, apparently, as the movie moves on, there are three different rival gangs chasing them. There's the evil guy who wears the big teeth mask. Something or other. They talk about Valhalla and such, so right. We'll go with the Valhallans. then you have the guys from Gas Town.
And then the Bullet Farm guys.
Yeah, the guys from the Bullet Farm. They all look like they are interesting characters because they all have unique personalities and somewhat different vehicle styles. Mm-hmm. But again, nothing's really explained. It just, that's the way they are. One guy has a metal nose. Why? Because
he has a metal nose. Oh, he has a metal nose and a big feet.
Yeah,
the big, really nasty feet thing. This is a problem I have with a lot of movies. Like, a lot of movies are just weird for the sake of being weird, and this had that in spades. Kind of bugged me. I'm just going to tell you, kind of bugged me.
I guess that would be the biggest complaint is I really would wish this movie has such like, the vehicles, the look of the world, like, the look of the characters, everything is really, like, done very well that I wish it would give me a little more time in the backstory. I mean, there seems to be a list of rules for this world that would be really interesting if they were explained.
Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of people that are like, oh, well, the fact that it wasn't explained means it's not talking down to you. You can explain things without talking down to the audience. You know, there's a line you can toe, and this did not toe that line. It was just like, yeah, figure it out. Good luck.
There's an expected amount that the audience is expected to extrapolate from what they're given, and I'm not expecting to have a sit-down and have them give me a PowerPoint presentation and, like, little pop-ups on the window explaining everything that goes on. But on the same note, you know, I mean, the movie plays by a set of rules that's not really given to the audience.
Right, right. And, so, I mean, I guess you have to kind of admire them for making a movie like that, but you're going to alienate a whole lot of people, especially with the fact that the movie is so gorgeous to look at. The effects are unbelievable. The set design, the costume design, like you already said, everything in that respect is awesome.
The look and feel of the world is there. Like, I mean, you feel like you are taking a look at a living, breathing world that's out there. I mean, I'm trying to think of a movie that has a different world that still kind of allows you to kind of go with it. Like, all right, take a movie that occurs in the future, like Clockwork Orange. All right.
Yeah.
They have their own sets of dialect and different things like that, but you can kind of pretty much go with it from there. I mean, you pick up the lingo that they're using, although they don't take the time to go and say, well, this word means this or this, and I get that.
Right.
That's fine. But like I said, I mean, there's one part where Val Hollins, whenever they're about to, I think, die, spray themselves in the mouth with silver spray paint.
Right.
To go to the land of Valhalla shiny for, and like I said, I mean, a little, just give me a little bit. Just,
right. And unfortunately, if you don't get that backstory with that, then it just, once again, it just comes off as weird.
Right. And all right. So they capture Mad Max, and they're using him to drain his blood into somebody else. But why?
And then even that, at one point, they stop draining the blood and the guy's still alive.
I understand. Like, they kind of say that, you know, everybody is sick there for some reason. They're diseased. And they only have a certain amount of time. Like, one of the girls makes some mention of that, but it doesn't explain why a blood transfusion helps that.
Right. I can't. I've been thinking about this movie a lot, you know, because everybody raves about it. The other guy that we saw it with, it was the second time he saw it, and he's like, he couldn't wait to see it again. And, like, I'm still trying to figure out why.
Right.
Like, listen, the action sequences were really great, especially, like, the last action sequence that they had, like, you know, the chase back to Valhalla or wherever it was.
Yeah.
Was amazing.
Right.
You know, and from a direction standpoint, I could see, in that respect, I mean, I could see George Miller getting recognized with, like, some awards once award season comes around for a directing standpoint, but it just doesn't hold together as a movie for me.
You're right. Like, from an absolutely visual standpoint, this movie is wow. I would be tempted to go see this movie in 3D. Not for the plot or anything, but I think some of the, like, just seeing the effects and everything like that, I think some of the action sequences would probably really benefit from the 3D in there. Like, I think visually it would be jaw-dropping.
Yeah.
They used a majority of practical effects, which were amazing. Some of the stunt sequences that they put together, you're right, over the last chase sequence especially, unbelievable. And the movie really does get your blood pumping and everything like that. I mean, one of the cars is essentially six drummers and a guy with a flame-shooting electric guitar on top of it.
Right. Now, that was something that was weird, but that, like, it just fit perfectly. And the cool thing about that, one thing I noticed as it went on, you have the score, which is this really driving score, and whenever the guitar player was on screen, the guitar just cut through the score. Mm. And I'm like, this is cool. That's good filmmaking right there.
Yeah, the more you analyze it, the more you try to pick it apart. Like, you try to think about the main plot is essentially, what the heck is her name?
Furiosa.
Furiosa, I was about to say Furioletta, but yeah, Furiosa takes brides from Joe. Yeah. And she's trying to take them to the green place.
Right.
You know, because they don't want to be slaves to them and have their kids grow up to be warlords for whatever reason. Looks like they'd have it pretty good, but still, you know, so it's them chasing through, and Mad Max just happens to be there, you know, because movie. But yeah, like I said, I mean, the plot of it is kind of okay, but it doesn't really explain why people are sitting around getting their breast pumped for milk at one point.
Yeah, that was odd.
Yeah. And, you know, just like, it doesn't exactly explain what's in short supply. If water is in short supply, then water should definitely be something that's a commodity to be traded, or gasoline, or the bullet farm, or it's just strange. I would recommend seeing this movie in the theater. Yes, I would, because visually it is a feast, like a true feast. Like, it's moving. The effects are top notch. The stunt sequences and driving chase sequences are over the top and amazing.
I would even actually go as far to say, like, the character development of the main two, of Furiosa and Max, is actually pretty decent.
Yeah, and the rogue bald guy is actually developed.
Yeah, like, so the way they develop these characters, it's, you know, it's methodical and it works within the story. But unfortunately, like, that was the other thing, like, the story, like, they're going to the green place. The green place doesn't exist, so they turn back and go the other way.
Yeah.
That's the story, guys. That's it. Okay?
Yep. The plot doesn't have to be complicated for the movie to be enjoyable, but mm-hmm. it seems like, you're right, some of the stuff is just weird for weird's sake. Yeah. There's, you know, it's just sort of like, why does the guy from, I guess, the bullet farm have big feet, and, or maybe it wasn't, was it him that had the
I
big
don't,
feet?
I don't, dude, I don't even know anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or was that the guy from Gastown?
And I don't know, but if that was the guy from Gastown, then who was the guy from Bullet Farm?
I think Bullet Farm was the guy in the tank type car.
Oh. Whatever.
Yeah.
So listen, it boils down to this. If, like, you want to see a visual feast and you can overlook the fact that it's just going to be weird, go for it. But you do not listen to everybody's raves, because if you're just a casual moviegoer, you are going to be turned off by this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that is indecipherable and just odd for odd's sake. And yeah. While I admire him for just sticking to his guns and just making the movie the way he wanted to make it, having some sort of entry point would have been good. Yeah. Even a quick summary of, this is why the world is the way that it is right now.
Yeah. These are the factions, you know, that kind of thing. Something.
Yeah, just like even during the credit sequence, just give me a little bit, right. You know. I don't need a lot. Like I said, I don't need a character. I don't need Joe Exposition to come out and point things out mm-hmm. and hold my hand throughout the whole thing. But just give me like wet my beak for the world and let me kind of take the rest.
Yeah. So Eric and I, we're on the same page, but unfortunately, as you can see, we're not on the same page as the majority of critics out there. So, you know, yeah. It's worth a watch, but at your own risk.
It is definitely worth seeing on the big screen. Like, it has some of the most pulse-pounding action effects and chase sequences I've seen in a while. It's really good for that. But just know that it might leave you going, huh?
Yep.
So
just, you know, beware, guys. So with that, you know, the summer movie season has just begun. And we talked about Ultron. We talked about Mad Max. But there's a lot more summer to go. So Eric and I are going to talk a little bit about some of our anticipated summer movies, and I believe we each picked five.
Yep.
And I pretty much guarantee we're going to have some overlap here.
Oh, I'm sure. And
all right. So, and that's cool. No big deal. That'll only make the sequence go shorter.
Yep.
And maybe some people will love that, and maybe some people will. Whatever, doesn't matter. So, since I started off the 10 movies in 5 minutes, give me one of your most anticipated movies of the summer.
Okay, I didn't really rank these in 5 to 1. Yeah, I just,
that's okay.
Five, but one of my five anticipated movies is Jurassic World. All right, they got me on the hook. I will be seeing this. I'm curious. I want to see it. I do love dinosaur movies, and I do, you know, I don't mind seeing, you know, Star-Lord in movies. I think he's fun to watch.
Yes.
But like I said, I have a feeling that I will be let down, but I'm still anticipating seeing Jurassic World.
It looks, I'm with you, dude. That was on my list as well. You know, I got a kid that is dying to see it, and I love, with you, I love Chris Pratt. I see that Vincent D'Onofrio's in this. I think he's the man. You know what? If it's over the top and they treat it like it's over the top, but not like Jurassic Park 3, I'll be okay.
Still more entertaining than Jurassic Park 2.
Be quiet. I do not agree. Jurassic Park 3 is just dumb. Anyway, yeah, so like I said, I had Jurassic Park on my list.
Jurassic
Park. Jurassic, whatever it's called. The new, the other one.
The new dinosaur thing.
The new dinosaur thing. I have that on there. What I have one that I think looks great, and some of the advanced reviews have been really quite good for it. Melissa McCarthy's movie Spy.
That is actually on my list as well.
Oh yeah, cool. See,
I do enjoy seeing Melissa McCarthy in movies, and she has let me down. Tammy, I'm looking at you, and as well as Identity Thief. Both of those were dreck and terrible. Okay. But I mean, I love The Heat.
I love The Heat. Yeah. Bridesmaids.
Yeah, I enjoyed her very much in Bridesmaids. So this movie looks real, like the trailers that I've seen look legitimately funny. Like I am anticipating this movie.
I like the cast with her, like Jude Law, Jason Statham. I'm looking forward to this. And like I said, I've heard some advanced reviews, and they've been very good. And it's the same director behind The Heat, and of course, this guy's next movie will be the female reboot of Ghostbusters, also starring Melissa McCarthy. Let's not get into it, because that's, once again, a whole other show.
Yes, that could go on for quite a bit.
But, yeah.
Another one of my anticipated movies on my list, I have Ant-Man.
That's on my list. Gee, look at this. Our list might be exactly the same.
I think we'll probably have one differing movie, which I'm sure we'll have talk about. Anyway.
Oh, great. Okay.
The movie is going through, has it two or three different directors by now?
Oh, a bunch.
And a lot of different scripts and stuff like that. But the most recent trailer with the Thomas the Tank Engine really seems to have captured the spirit of the movie. I mean, the movie itself is goofy. The guy shrinks down to the size of an ant and fights a guy who's Yellow Jack. I mean, it's goofy in Marvel's goofiness, like, you know, but I am looking forward to this one.
Yeah, and, you know, think about this time, you know, everybody's saying, oh, this is a big risk, the biggest risk Marvel ever took. Another big risk that Marvel took was Guardians of the Galaxy, and it ended up being the second highest grossing film of 2014. Marvel, listen, guys, just accept the fact that Marvel knows their and I don't think they're going to let us down, and I don't think this is going to let us down either.
There are very few Marvel movies that I would just be like, well, they took the wrong step there. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, there are some that are just kind of eh. But, I mean, like I said, I can trust them.
Yeah, they all have enjoyable elements no matter what.
Exactly.
So I don't think Ant-Man's going to be any different.
Correct.
So, all right. So our lists have been similar.
All right.
And maybe I will break out. Well, you probably have this on your list. Do you have Inside Out, Pixar's movie?
Yes, I do.
Oh, it's my like God.
It's like you're reading my list.
It's so funny. Listen, and once again, they just screened this over at the Cannes Film Festival. Mm. Two rave reviews, naturally. Pixar's back to form. Da, 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 da. It just looks delightful.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, Pixar knows what they're doing, too. Yeah. I mean, Pixar takes risks on bizarre concepts and makes them work.
And I think this is definitely one of those, and I have high hopes.
Yeah, I mean, their sequels seem to kind of drop off in quality from the originals. I mean, they're still enjoyable, but I mean, when they take their bizarre concepts and work them through and flesh them out on the screen, they usually work really well. I mean, I know that they're anticipating a hit with this one, since they've already announced that it's going to be a playset with playable characters in the next Disney Infinity.
Oh, wow, I didn't hear that. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Disney. There's some more money I gotta shell out.
I mean, come on. They bought Star Wars, so you knew they were gonna make a Star Wars Infinity.
I don't think my 8-year-old's seen that yet, and I'm going to try to keep it from him as long as possible.
Yeah, not but then there's also the expensive Lego one, too.
Oh, but that looks so cool. All right, we're getting off track. Sorry. Yeah. All four of these movies we have together. So what's this fifth movie?
Pixels.
I totally have that, too. Our lists are exactly the same.
That is... Like the reason I thought you weren't going to go there with me is because it's starring Adam Sandler and I think Kevin James and that leaves you disappointed in so many other movies.
Well, because they suck in everything, dude. They like, all right, let me rephrase that. Adam Sandler, I really liked Happy Gilmore, and that's where it ends. Kevin James, I don't like him anything because he sucks. But this movie, the concept of this movie is awesome.
It is like it's aliens who picked up like video game signals and then use them to come to Earth and invade.
Yeah, like Donkey Kong, Pac-Man, Centipede invading. It looks awesome. And not to mention the fact it is not done by Adam Sandler's Happy Madison crew. There's a legit director behind it, Christopher Columbus.
Okay.
The guy that did, you know, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Right.
He's behind this, and I got faith in that.
The trailer for it where they actually have, you know, the creator of Pac-Man try to talk to him, and it looks so good. Apparently, we've written the exact same list for each other.
Wow, that's sad.
Yeah, that is really sad. You know, like I said, I'm sitting there writing movies like, I know he's probably not going to put that one on his list. Nope. Like,
I was thinking, I'm like, well, if I put Pixels on there, that might be the exception. Oh, well.
Yeah, no, like I said, I'm right there with you. So
that's funny.
We would love to know what your most anticipated summer movies are. You can leave us a comment on our Facebook page, as usual, which is facebook.com/Price Street Film Club, where you'll be able to, and by the time this recording goes up, peep our new logo.
Oh, yeah, our new logo is awesome. Big shout out to Heather Kokenauer, if she's listening. Thank you, dear. It looks great.
Yeah, it does. I grok it much. What are the other ways? I know we've recently joined the 21st century with the Instagram, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Yeah, guys, we're on Instagram. You just look up Price Street Film Club on Instagram. We're on Instagram. And hold your breath. Get ready. We are in the Twitterverse, ladies and gentlemen, at Price Street Film on Twitter. All right? You can put comments anywhere you want, and we will get them. And we still have a blog, PriceStreetFilmClub.blogspot.com. It's still there.
That's right.
You can put comments on there, too. We have tons of places, guys.
You can just kind of take and probably use your finger and write a message in the dust on the blog.
And if you go right to our podcast page, which is PriceStreetFilmClub.podomatic.com, you can put comments up there as well. So we're all over the place, all right? So put them up there.
Yeah, and we will read them over on our next episode.
Yeah,
fame, right. No fortune, could all be yours. That's right. You'll be famous to dozens of people.
Or just us.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're pretty awesome, so it's cool. You're allowed to be famous to us.
That's right. So now we'll move along to our last feature of our show, the trailer park. So would you like, since I started the anticipated list that we both had the same thing of, would you like to start off with your trailer?
Sure. I'll go blatantly obvious here. I know it was released a long time ago, but, you know, we haven't had a show since then. Star Wars The Force Awakens. I think I must have watched this trailer like 1,000 times, okay? Mm-hmm. And listen, I know I shouldn't be getting my hopes up, okay? But it's just on my brain, and I can't help it. I can't help but watch this trailer and get excited. All the images, the Star Destroyer in the sand, the cool little ball droid thing, the Sith Lord with the three-pronged lightsaber, the shiny Stormtrooper, and the best thing, every time I see the trailer, I get giddy and I get goosebumps when I hear Han Solo, Chewie, and then they show him up, we're home. Holy crap, I can't wait. I can't wait.
I have been so burned by this franchise before.
I know.
It's one of those things where it's just like, I want to be excited. The teaser I was kind of okay. Not really much going on there, but I mean, there were some neat things. Showed the Millennium Falcon, blah blah blah. But you're right. When they had the last trailer, which I guess showed Luke Skywalker as well.
Yeah, that was his voiceover the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, with the robot hand touching R2.
Oh yeah.
At the end of it, showed, you know, Han Solo and Chewbacca. I was like, yeah, all right, I'm on board. I'm gonna see this thing. But yeah, you're right. That's a good one. My first trailer would be the new Batman v Superman.
Dawn of Justice. Dawn of Justice.
I will say that there is really nothing in this trailer that got me excited about this movie.
Well, I will absolutely disagree with you there.
Like, all right, you get to see somebody basically saying, you know, blah blah blah, stuff happens, you know, and you get to see the Superman statue say false god. And then you get a 2-second glimpse of Batman and a little bit of glimpse of Superman, and that's it.
All right, see, you obviously haven't watched this trailer 8,000 times like me. on those voiceovers in the beginning, I think it's really cool, and especially, once again, I've watched this a lot, one of those voiceovers is Lex Luthor.
Mm.
And I'm like, that's awesome. The false god thing is great. Once again, the best way to portray Superman and make it interesting is to make him flawed. And this, the whole point of this is to point out his flaws. And I have been saying from the very beginning, Ben Affleck as Batman is going to be awesome. And that him looking, he's got that brooding look, he gets the suit on, and that last line, Can you bleed? You will. Come on!
After Man of Steel, I am very, very, very cautious to even get remotely excited about another Superman movie from Zack Snyder.
Yeah, well, that's the biggest problem, is Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
You know, but like I said, I love the casting of Ben Affleck. I love Henry Cavill as Superman. I think he did a great job.
Right.
He really does well in that role. I think Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor, I think that's a very inspired casting. I don't like to have high hopes, but, you know, like, Man of Steel, yes, it's not great, but it's not awful.
I'll give you that. Like I said, I'll wait and see. I know probably a more in-depth trailer, probably giving us a glimpse of Aquaman and Wonder Woman, probably is on the horizon. But yeah. Now I'll just be like, I will be cautious. I'm really cautious about that movie.
I got you. I understand. And you know what? You have every right to be, because there's a lot that could go wrong.
Yes. Yes, there. So what is your second and final trailer?
Well, speaking of going wrong, oh my. I actually just saw this today. The trailer for the remake of Point Break.
What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's happening quicker than you would have ever imagined. Now, to really get the full understanding of this, they're keeping the same concept as the original Point Break, except the fact that these guys do not rob banks. They are out to just sabotage financial institutions. Now, there is a Bodie, and there is also a Johnny Utah. And it's funny, the kid that's playing Johnny Utah actually is doing his best Keanu Reeves impression. You have to watch the trailer, because it's pathetic.
Okay.
One of the lines in the trailer, this guy actually says, he's like, "Much like me, they are extreme sports fanatics, and they're using their skills to upset the world's financial institutions." I swear to God, that's a line in the trailer. And listen, you know what? If you're going to do a reboot, it's fine, but like, listen, Point Break, it's like the guiltiest of guilty pleasures. It's not a good movie, okay?
No,
it's not a good movie. Because Keanu Reeves is in it. And it's,
yeah.
So, there you go. But it's a guilty pleasure. And you watch it and you're like, ha, ha, this, why are you doing this?
Yeah. There's no reason to retouch this movie ever.
No. You know, it's the age-old adage, can't polish a turd.
Yep.
Boom. There it is.
So, my final trailer, speaking of remakes, is actually one that I was pleasantly surprised to actually find myself enjoying the fact that it might actually work as a movie, and that's the new National Lampoon's Vacation.
I agree. I
watched the trailer. I like Ed Helms. The only thing that could possibly steer this one wrong is if they rely too heavily on gross-out humor.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there is a lot of it in the first trailer.
Yeah. And like I said, I don't want them to lean too heavily on that, because the first Vacation, and, you know, actually all the other Vacations, didn't have to rely too much on that. They didn't have to lean on that button too much.
Right.
And I think that you could redo the thing with Rusty being taking his family on a trip to Wally World without having to push that button.
Right.
And really hope that it's not all gross out humor.
Yeah, hopefully they will try to, you know, have an equal amount of stuff like that. But I mean, there are so many little funny beats in that trailer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I like the whole concept of it. I like the fact that, you know, it's a continuation, it's not a reboot. You know, it's actually Rusty. And you see Clark, you know, you see Clark Griswold in the trailer. I think it's great.
Yeah.
You know?
No, like I said, I and given his past, I don't think we'll see Uncle Eddie in this one. Or is
I guess not.
Yeah, like I said, I really do think that this has potential. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing the reviews when it actually does come out.
Yeah, me too. And that's also, by the way, it's a summer movie, and that didn't make either of our lists. But hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
And either of our lists. I'm sorry, it didn't make our communal list.
Yeah, exactly.
I apologize.
Our list that we put together by ourselves together.
And that's for real, folks. We did not talk about those lists, and that's so sad. But anyway.
Yeah, that really is. Well, that brings us to the end of our third season.
That's the end of our third season?
Well, no. That's
well,
not
all right. All right, guys, that was great. We did one episode. See you later.
Yeah, that's the end of our first episode of the third season,
which
I meant to say before I stammered over that. Anyway, We would love to hear your comments on our assignment, America. Please do leave us a little something, either on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Price Street Film Club.
Yeah, we're all over the interwebs here, guys. You can get us on Instagram, Price Street Film Club, Price Street Film on Twitter. You can go to our podcast page, which is PriceStreetFilmClub.podomatic.com, or you want to go dig up the relics on the blog, PriceStreetFilmClub.blogspot.com.
We look forward to hearing from you. Tell us all about your most anticipated summer movies, and we will talk about them on our next show, which will be sometime in the future. But until then, this is myself, Eric Clausen.
And this is Mr. Adam Tucker signing off. Thanks for listening, folks.
And keep on watching.